to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So today, 7 years ago today, the Deepwater Horizon oil rig went boom. 11 workers killed, more injured. And you go back earlier this week on Sunday, 4 years ago Sunday, you saw the explosion at the West Texas fertilizer plant. And as I've said about that, who could have thought it a bad idea to put explosive stuff, combustible stuff in wooden boxes in a wooden shed with no sprinkler system in the Texas heat? Who could have possibly thought anything could have gone wrong? Well, here to talk about these disasters, these catastrophes, and, you know, what we've done since to prevent them, I've asked Peter Dooley to come talk with us. He's a senior organizer with the National Committee on Safety and Health. Peter, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thanks, Rick. It's great to be back on the show.
So I look at these anniversaries as not so much as an anniversary, but as a moment to remember these tragedies that have happened and to commit to, well, figure out how to never allow them to happen again.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're part of a continuing carnage that happens in workplaces every day. More than 13 American workers get killed on the job every single day of the year. And so this fits into a bigger picture, which next week is the annual Worker Memorial Week, in which throughout the world, we memorialize workers who have been killed on the job, give tribute to them and their families and the communities that are losing from these tragedies, and really rededicate ourselves to action to prevent these kinds of tragedies from happening.
Now, let me ask you on the legislative front and on the regulatory front, because look, I don't know that there's anyone who thinks that we should allow employers to create unsafe working conditions and allow these kind of scenarios to fester, at least not sane, rational people anyway. What have we done in the interim to make sure this stuff doesn't happen? Because look, I look at West Texas, and we were there on the ground. It was a massive explosion that basically tore through an entire community, schools, nursing homes, residential areas. And you go,
yep.
Explain to me how this is how we're not regulating this stuff.
Well, certainly yes, and it brings up a lot of issues that we need to be doing better in terms of land planning, land use planning, in terms of facilities, but also preventing these kinds of very preventable disasters from happening in terms of, like you mentioned, the storage of highly explosive materials right next to high schools, nursing homes, hospitals, and not only in West Texas. West Texas Fertilizer Company was the one that blew up. Just in Texas, there were about 20 other facilities that had the same issues in terms of highly explosive materials right next to the community. So there's a lot of work to be done. But it also, it's worth mentioning, that even though the numbers of workers killed instantly on the job, like I said, more than 13 a day, that's almost 5,000 a year. And this is just American workplaces. But then from exposure to other chemicals, causing long-term damage, the estimates range from 10 to 20, that number. So from 50,000 a year to 100,000,
right?
Which is just it's those numbers are going up, by the way. Unfortunately, the last 2 years that we have the numbers, the number of fatalities increased several hundred, in a time when we know we have more technology to prevent these from happening. We're using it less, and more workers are getting hurt and killed. But it's worth remembering, given the attacks that are on regulatory process in general these days, including Department of Labor and OSHA, that before when OSHA was created, the year that it was created, there were almost three times the number of fatalities that were happening each year in American workplaces. So OSHA, you know, has done, and the save, you know, just in financial savings, the estimates are like $200 billion.
Right.
And as better as we got to be, and we have to have better standards and better worker rights, because really this all, you know, it's not that, I mean, OSHA just provides a framework for workers to be having some leverage to be making improvements in their own workplace. But without that sort of enforcement mechanism behind the scenes, and then that really erodes the whole process for making workplaces inherently safer.
Right. You know, I saw a statistic. It would take, I think, the current number of OSHA inspectors that we have to inspect every workplace would be something like 115 years or some outrageous number like that.
Actually, yeah, nationally, it's 150.
Oh, wow, so it's gone up.
And even less in some of the states that have a little bit more inspectors. But again, it doesn't come near to really doing justice to the issues that need to be happening. But really, it's what we need to be doing is having workers and unions be more empowered and deputized, is what we've said for years, to be really negotiating health and safety programs, and really to be making their workplaces safer for everybody, for themselves as well as the community, as well as often in healthcare, it's about patients. It's really about, this is a community kind of issue.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing: what I'm getting from what you're saying, if I'm getting this right, you're talking about more job killing regulations, then, right?
Well, that's the and the anti-regulatory environment is a disaster. It's a disaster for workers. It's a disaster for the community. It's a disaster for families. One of the most, you know, one of the bright spots in this whole issue is the increased activism that has been happening over the years, where even the events next week around Worker Memorial Week have tremendously expanded to involve more community members, worker centers around the country, which, by the way, you know, these numbers, Latino worker fatalities have been dramatically increasing in the last 8 years, every single year, more than at any other sector of the population. And it's not surprising. I mean, Latino workers are in some of the most dangerous jobs. They are given the least amount of education and training, you know, about protecting themselves and their rights. And obviously, there's a lot of issues around being able to exercise their rights.
And, you know, it's about, you know, a lot of it, they're in the underground economy, so they can't speak up when something is horribly wrong. And so they're constantly in harm's way.
Exactly. And this issue of speaking up is the core of every single workplace health and safety program. So many programs do things to discourage workers from speaking up and reporting things. That's a self-defeating mechanism, which allows companies to say, oh, we got a great health and safety record. We don't need government to be, you know, sort of being a watchdog. That's all a bunch of crap. It just drives these programs underground. One of the best examples is one that you mentioned, Deepwater Horizon. And if folks have not seen the movie, I really encourage people to see the movie that's available on Netflix. It's really very true to the facts of the case. Deepwater Horizon, otherwise known by BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, that oil rig was being given an award that morning of the explosion for low injury rates. And again, it's this whole thing of driving health and safety complaints underground, and having these records that don't really reflect the reality of the health and safety issues that are there. Deepwater Horizon, 11 workers killed, many others injured, 17 seriously injured. And of course, the worst environmental catastrophe in, you know, sort of certainly in the last couple of decades. So again, it brings it, worker health and safety is really about, it's about the environment, it's about the community, and we need to be doing so much more.
I'm absolutely with you. But what we get out of our current, you know, political system now, and I use West Texas as the example. And I guess, you know, a softball question here for you. Do you buy the ATF's assessment that that was a criminal act that caused the explosion?
No. You know, we really focus on the system problems that are inherent in these, in a lot of the health and safety issues, the catastrophes that happen. It's always... And I've investigated a lot of workplace fatalities myself. It's always a multiple problems, factors that all come together, you know, to create these catastrophes.
Right. I would argue the crime was that you stored this stuff more than you should have had in wooden boxes in a wooden shed with no sprinkler system or way to stop a fire in the Texas heat. That's the crime, especially when you're no more than 100 yards from a school and a nursing home.
Yeah.
And the crime to me, Peter, is that you had the Attorney General at the time telling people who live near these facilities, as you pointed out, there are 20 across the state, to just go knock on their door and ask them because we don't need any oversight. That, to me, is the crime.
Yeah. And the lack of criminal prosecution is really throughout the system in around worker health and safety. There's very, very little. There's little of it actually done. There's some examples where, for example, there's been several in New York City recently related to construction deaths. But that's really the minority. Workplace health and safety is not really seen as a big enough priority.
Yep. Well, I've always said, Peter, that if I wanted to kill you, I mean, honestly, if I ever wanted to kill you or somebody, I'd just hire you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, Deepwater Horizon is a good example where horrible, decisions being made. And again, it's one of the better popular movies that really kind of bring this across about the corporate greed and decision making that leads to these kinds of problems happening. And it's often easy to blame workers for a particular, you know, issue that happens. But if you really look at the bigger picture, it's decisions being made in the boardrooms and such that often are creating the environment where these tragedies can happen.
Yep. I always go back to Don Blankenship's memo.
Yeah,
don't get paid to do safety stuff. We get paid to run coal. That's it. You don't need to know. That's the CEO mentality, Peter.
And that is such just the perfect example, because it was the smoking gun was there, which is rare. For one thing, most of these workplace fatalities are not really investigated in the way that they need to be.
Yep.
And by the way, one of the agencies that do really investigate these, especially the bigger traumatic, such as Deepwater Horizon or West Texas, is the Chemical Safety Board, which is an independent federal agency created 25 years ago, which is currently under attack. And really is basically looking to not have a budget starting in October.
Yep, no, that was part of Trump's skinny budget to eliminate the funding for the Chemical Safety Board. Because look, we don't want to protect those people. We don't want workers to be safe.
And this is an organization that does really look at really what happened. There's a thorough investigation. Creates reports as well as videos, about how to prevent this in the future. And that's why it was created. So it's really, it does a tremendous service for the public And again, it's under, you know, sort of it's under attack.
Well, all worker protections are under attack in this country.
Well,
Peter,
yes.
Because we've got this mind that the benevolent wealth class, the employer class and their benevolence, they'll take care of us. So let me ask you a last question then. You know, what do we do? I mean, you see this, as you pointed out, 13 people go to work. 13 people are going to go to work today. They're not going to go home. We know that between 50 and 75,000 people die of occupational illnesses that we never hear about. What are we supposed to do? What do working people do?
Well, so get involved, get active. Get involved in your workplace, in your union. So our organization, National Kosh, our website is koshnetwork.org. Our tweet is at National Kosh. We have a lot of resources available. I think people have to, and people have to learn what, you know, sort of what their rights are in this issue. They also, you know, this is a generational issue. A lot of people that I talk to about this, they come up to me and say, you know, my dad, you know, sort of got hurt doing this kind of work, and grandparents. But on the other end, it's about our kids and grandparents, because young workers are at the highest risk in a lot of these situations. So it's something that we can be bringing to our family, and the more that we're active in this issue, the more we're going to be prepared to prevent the next tragedy or to be responding to one that happens, and trying to really make sense out of it by using it as a lesson learned and making things better for everyone, our family as well as our coworkers and our community. It's really about that.
Good stuff. Peter, I appreciate you taking some time.
And next week, keep in mind, everyone, next week is the highlight of the season for health and workplace health and safety.
Yep.
So if there's over 100 events that we list on our website, the koshnetwork.org, and if there's not a Kosh group in your area, get involved in one, get one started. Take a look at our website. My email is peter@nationalkosh.org. People can contact me. So really appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. Again, if you want to check out Peter's information, we'll get a link at therickssmithshow.com of how you can check out their website, their Twitter account, and all of that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. From the top.
First ones to die. The first ones in line for that pie in the sky.